Gloria.
thank God for his faithfulness. I thank God for every one of you here this beautiful day that the Lord God Almighty has made. Father, we are thankful for your presence. And we're thankful, Lord, O God, that we can come and we can worship you in spirit and in truth. We're thankful, Lord, O God, that when we give attention to your purposes, to your will, to your directives, that you take care of those things, O God, that only you can do perfectly. You eradicate all distractions and connect us to destiny. So, Lord, O God, today we thank you, Father, that even as we've come to you, that, Lord, you are working on our behalf, making certain, O God, that the things that we could have done in our own strength and our abilities, in futility, are removed. And Lord, O God, that you're taking care of business and connecting us to all that you have for us. We give you praise for your faithfulness and for your care and love for us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, thank God for every one of you. Well, this evening, I want to share something. I don't know when I shared this with us, but this has got to be about 4 or 5 years back. There were 5 things that I said to us at that time that we must know, settle, and always remember. I don't know if you still remember this, so maybe that's why the Lord is leading me to talk about it again. But let me have a try in the house today. Does anyone remember the 5 things? Huh? Some of them? Tell me what you got. I am loved. I have a purpose. I've been authorized. I'm chosen. Wow, that's good. That's good. That's good. Well, that's what I want to talk to you about and remind you about tonight in the next few minutes. 5 things you must know, have settled in your spirit, in your mind, and remind yourself concerning at all times. Number one, uno. I am loved. Say that with me. I am loved. There's so many people in our world today that don't feel loved. They don't feel loved because somebody didn't say the right thing to them, somebody didn't give them a hug, they are alone, whatever the situation might be. And when you look at them in real terms, you can say, okay, you're not loved. But that's not what God says. God says, I am loved. The Word of God says in John 3:16, and we know the verse very well, God so loved the world. That means everybody in it. God loves me that he gave his only begotten Son, that if I believe in him, I should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you feel loved and you know that you're loved, you know that God will not allow evil to overwhelm you, to have the upper hand over your life. Yes, it does not mean that you not have challenges, and challenges do come for everyone, as we said this morning. But God makes us more than conquerors. I must believe that God loves me. If I were the only sinner on the planet, Jesus, my Lord, would still have died just for me. Because he's not willing that anyone perish, but I all come to repentance, experience this supernatural change, this supernatural elevation from nothing to a higher level of living. The word of the Lord to us this month is that this is our month to enjoy the goodness of God. God has goodness put into the system. His goodness. The word of God says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Why mercy? Because there are times when I'm going to mess up and I need the mercy of God. Mercy to override judgment. God is the God who will discipline us because he loves us. I was saying to somebody not too long ago, not talked to them for a while, and they were sharing what was happening in their lives and on and on and on. And I said to this person, I said, listen, you might not want to talk to me again after this, but I love you too much not to tell you the truth. You're going about all of this stuff that you're doing the wrong way. You're not handling situations properly. You're not helping the people you think you're helping. You're destroying them. These people that you think you love, you're destroying them because you're not showing them the right path. I said, after this, you might not want to talk to me again. It doesn't matter. I will go back to my bed. I will sleep well. I'll wake up tomorrow knowing that I did the right thing. I spoke in love to you. And God does the same thing. God will speak to us and discipline us because he knows what his plans are for our lives. If we are willing to hear the counsel of the Lord, we will deliver ourselves from a lot of damage. There are so many prayers that we did not need to pray if we just obeyed the voice of the Lord. Too many things that we've gotten ourselves into that we wouldn't have gotten ourselves into if we just listened to the instruction of God, because he loves us. The child that is trying to stick his hands into fire because he likes the color. I like yellow, I like red, I like blue. There's green in there. He says, hey son, don't do that. Don't touch that. Well, you're not letting me grow up. I can do it. We'll learn sooner or later that you don't play with fire. If God says, choose your friends carefully, it's because he loves you. It's not because he wants you to be lonely. It's not because he doesn't want you to have friends. He loves you. God loves me, so he directs me. He guides me. God loves me. He protects me. God loves me. He provides for me. God loves me. He keeps me close to his heart. I am loved. That's one thing I must never forget. I am loved no matter what I'm going through. I am loved. And because I am loved, I know this, that God will not allow me to be tempted beyond that which I'm able to bear, but it provides a way of escape. I am loved. I am not going to drown in these waters. I am not going to be capsized in this ocean. No, I am going to arrive at my destination point. I am loved. Second thing, I need to remind myself at all times about, it's not only that I am loved, but that I am chosen. God has chosen me. God has chosen me. He has a specific assignment for my life, and He separated me unto Himself. I'm His peculiar treasure. God chose me. Out of the masses, God chose me. Because He chose me, I'm alive. Because He chose me, I know that I have great and greater days in front of me. I am chosen. God has chosen me. You know, growing up, we used to have soccer games in our community, and you know, Church Street might play a game with McRae Street or Mackenzie or Alfred or Dufferin. And so, you know, normally you have 11 players and maybe two or three extras. And you go, and there is a captain who possibly is the best player, and or else he's the toughest guy. And he's decided he's going to play, and now he has to choose his players. And there you are, waiting to be picked out from this group of people that are on your street to represent your street in the game. Being chosen. You're part of a group, but you're chosen. I remember when my spiritual father chose me. I was in Tel Aviv, and then Tel Aviv having this service ministering to the saints in Israel, and out of nowhere he calls me up to come pray. There's lots of people. He calls me up to come pray, and as I'm coming up the stage, he says, "This is my new member, my board of directors for Canada." I didn't even know what that meant. I was clueless. I said, "Thank you, sir." I'm wondering what that meant. When I got off the stage, people started thronging me. I said, "Congratulations, congratulations." I said, "Yeah, thank you." "Oh, looks like you don't know what just happened." I said, "What just happened?" "You are in the Canadian board." I said, "Canadian board? What does that mean?" "That means you are going to be part of the team that runs things in Canada." I said, "Who? Oh, that's serious." Chosen. Then one day, chosen to be part of his U.S. board, which was the main board. So here I was in a Canadian board and the U.S. board, chosen, picked out. That's what being chosen is. You picked out for a reason. You're never chosen for no reason. You're chosen for a reason. So when God chooses you, it's because he has a particular plan and a destiny for you. And you and I need to remember that. I am chosen. Now, when you know that you're chosen, you carry yourself properly. You cannot act crazy like everybody else because you know you're chosen. When God chose you, he separated you from the world and declared holiness over your life. So now you cannot act like the people out there that don't have a sense of their left from their right. When you're chosen, you don't get to do everything that everybody else does. You carry yourself appropriately according to the assignment that you have been called to follow up with. Understand tonight, God loves you and God chose you, picked you out. From your family, he picked you out. Years ago, I just got saved. It wasn't even 2 weeks. And God kept on calling me to the ministry. So I want in the ministry. I kept on saying, no. For 2 years, I resisted the Spirit of God. Until September 5th of 1976, I was leading our choir in a Negro spiritual. We had a Thanksgiving service that particular day. Next Sunday is going to be Thanksgiving service here. But in Thanksgiving service in Nigeria, or we call it also harvest, that's when you brought your biggest gift for the year to express your thanks to God for what he has blessed you with. And as I was leading this Negro spiritual, we started singing, "Free at last, free at last, I thank God I'm free at last." And I heard the voice of God. I have to tell you that 6 months prior, I had said to the Lord, a few months even earlier than that. My birthday is May the 6th. I'm still receiving gifts for that, by the way. Praise the Lord. Now I know you're awake. Well, the Lord was calling me. I'm the oldest son of my father. For the longest time, the only son, because I had sisters all behind me. 7 sisters. No boy. My dad was looking for that boy, another boy. And when the boy was finally born, he was born May the 5th. So I said to the Lord, 5 comes before 6. I know I'm the oldest, but there's a reason why this kid was born on the 5th. Take him. I will support him. I don't want to be a minister of the gospel. No, I don't want to do that. He says, I'm not calling him, I'm calling you. So my last argument was, God, your word says, I opened my Bible and I read it to God. It says here, honor your father and your mother.
I said to the Lord. See it? Right there. Well, my father does not want me in the ministry. How is that? And for 6 months, God, who spoke to me every day about his call on my life, did not say a word for 6 months. Not a word from God. Until that day, September 5th, while I was leading, and I started singing, "Free at last, free at last, I thank God I'm free at last." I heard the voice of the Lord. I said, "Michael." It was so explosive inside here that I thought it was audible. "Today, your father is going to give you up into the work of the ministry, and I don't want to hear any more excuses from you." I turned around to see who was talking. Nobody. They were still all singing. I went and I sat down where I would normally sit. And about 30 minutes later, my life was to change. My father came up, who had given the best offering I've seen him give. I think he gave at that time about $20,000. Comes back up and says, "God is asking me to give my only son." Till this day, I don't know why he used the word "only son," because by this time there were other boys, to the Lord. And so I was put on the offering plate. But I already knew I had no other excuse. What was that? Chosen. Chosen. From that day, I knew that my life no longer belonged to me. It belonged to the Lord. And he had the right to say anything he wanted to say, to do anything he wanted to do with my life. But that is an elevated place, to be chosen, separated, becoming a treasure unto God. That's the word that God speaks over every one of us here. It says, "You are chosen." John 15:16 says, "God chose us and ordained us to be fruitful." God has chosen me to bring forth fruit, and that my fruit abides. And that when I ask anything of the Father in his name, he will do it. He'll give it. Being chosen means that I have access to answered prayers. Not only must I grasp the fact that God has loved me, number one, God has chosen me, but I must understand that I have a destiny. God has a destiny for me. When God has a destiny for you, it means there is a place he wants you to arrive at. He has a plan. The Word of God says, "Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he will direct your path." Amen? Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he will direct your path. Direct your path for what? To arrive at a destination. The Word of God says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end of it is disaster, destruction. So when God has a particular plan for your life, a destiny, he also says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." When God has a destiny for you, you're going to arrive there if you just listen to his instruction. The whole thing is about you and I obeying God. Just obeying God. You're looking for what your life is all about, what your destiny is supposed to be. Listen to God. He has wired you up to listen to him, but the will to obey him is yours. Let me say that again. God has wired you up to listen, to hear him, but the will to obey is yours. Now, one of the prayers you can always pray is say to God, God, I choose to surrender my will to you so that whatever it is you want done no longer depends on me willing for it to happen, but because you willed it, you carry me there. Make me. Amen? I'm surrendering my choice to you, for you to make me. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. That's the wisest thing we can do. Not to be wise in our own eyes. But recognize that God sees everything. God has a totally different perspective on whatever it is that is happening. Nowadays, we have things like drones that we can fly and give us a better perspective of a particular area. On the street level, I cannot see the front of the church and the back of the church at the same time. I'm limited. But if I go up high, I can see all sides of the church. I can see the surrounding streets. I can see the traffic flow because I'm high up. Well, when you connect with God, God sees every detail. And not only does God see what is now, watch this, God sees what will be 2 minutes from now, 10 minutes from now, an hour from now. Now, from your perspective, you see issues because you see this big traffic. And God is lit. You want to get somewhere. You want to get somewhere like right now. I need to get to that place in 5 minutes. And God takes you towards the traffic jam. And say, God, we're going the wrong way. And God says, no, we're not going the wrong way. Because he sees that when you get to a particular spot, the road is going to clear up and you're going to cross. That's why the word of God says, lean not onto your own understanding. And that's not just sometimes, all the time. All the time. Don't lean on your own understanding. God has a destination for you, but he also has a destiny for you. I was listening to one of my son's ministry, I guess this morning, and he sent me something and I tapped on it on the social media, and I let me listen to what's happening there, you know, for a few minutes. So I listened, and there was this young man who was appreciating the role that this son had played in his life. He said, I used to be doing a particular kind of business. He was into computers or something. He said, but the man of God came to him and said, I don't see you there. That's not where you're supposed to be. This is what I see you doing. And it was engineering. He knew nothing about engineering. Not a clue. But because he believed the word, the prophetic statement, he changed his profession, started doing engineering, and that was his breakthrough in life. The other one had gotten him to a dead end. This one opened up the world to him and was saying, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. Well, God had a destiny for him. There are times when I meet people and I'll talk to them and I'll start telling them about their life, what it is God is saying to them. Yesterday I met a man standing there. I'm going to do something with the community and taking pictures with the premier of our province. And there was a guy standing by me. And I turned to him, I said, why didn't you run for being a mayor? I don't know this guy. Never met him. Why? And the guy says, that's what everybody's asking me. I said, who are you? What's your name? I had an accident. I had surgery. And so I decided, no. I said, what you're supposed to be. That was your destiny. And I said, I better pray for this guy because I hope that this was not his last chance to be. Because he's thinking, when I get better, sometimes you can miss what God has for you by making wrong decisions based on your natural mind. Your natural mind. Remember that you have a destiny. And if you have that destiny, it's because God gave you that destiny. And you go to God and you say, God, what is my destiny and what is my destination? Where am I supposed to be at this point in my life? What do you have to say to me? And he'll reveal it to you. Fourth thing you must remember is that you have a purpose. I have a purpose. What is that purpose? It is the reason for a thing. The purpose of a thing is the reason for it. This podium has a reason. It is here to help me hold up these books. My iPad. And I'm relaxed. Well, I can hold it like this. But the real purpose of this thing is for it to hold it for me so I don't wear myself out. And many times we wear ourselves out, tire ourselves out, because we are not grasping what our purpose is. This podium here is not complaining about it. It can handle it. 20 years from now, that iPad will still be there and the podium will not complain. That's its purpose. When you do not grasp deep within your spirit what your purpose is, you allow yourself to be abused, or you will abuse yourself. An abuse is an abnormal use. Let me say that again. Abuse is abnormal use. And when you don't have a sense that there's a reason for you, you allow people to abuse you, and you will abuse yourself. You must believe that God has a purpose for you. It may not be the purpose that you designed or want for yourself, but it is your purpose. It is God's agenda for your life. And you need to embrace it and say, God has a purpose for my life. And the reward of living a life of purpose is that you will be rewarded. God will reward you when you live a life of purpose. There are people that have particular giftings in their life because God can trust them with a purpose. For example, there are people that work, they make lots of money, and they don't even spend much of it on themselves. Because every time they have it, something inside of them says, I want you to give this to that person. I want you to give that to that ministry. I want you to support this. And so they're working and giving away, distributing. And they feel good about it because they are happy when they're doing that. You're looking at them saying, look at this guy. Keep something for yourself, man. And anytime he tries to keep something for himself, he feels like he's out of commission. Purpose. What's your purpose? What is that thing that drives you passionately? Because that's the reason for you. What is it that upsets you so deeply? You see it and that upsets you. Your purpose may be linked to that. But whatever that purpose is, it must be fed by one thing, love. Love. You can be upset about how people are treated, but when you deal with it, don't be an angry fool. Deal with it with a heart of love to make sure that people experience freedom as a purpose. Some finish their purpose. And when they finish, they have to go home. They've come, they've done their job, and God says, it doesn't matter. Some people fulfill their purpose at 21 years old. Some may fulfill it at 100. Some at 80. The purpose of God for your life is God's assignment for you. Your God assignment. The problem many times is that many people abort their purpose. The reason why God created them, they abort it. Now, God will use that as a lesson to teach somebody else, but that's not the real purpose for that person. So the question I must ask myself, that you must ask yourself, is this: what is God's purpose for my life? If you don't know it, spend some time praying about it. Ask God, what's my purpose? What is my purpose in Glory and Peace Church? I attend here. What did God call me to do here? Because I assure you, God has a particular assignment. Something very specific that He has on His mind for you to do. Grab a hold of that thing, pull it to yourself, and begin to function in that grace. It's the way it works. God has a purpose for my life. And finally, I am authorized. God has given me authority. In Luke 10 and verse 19, a passage that is related to thanksgiving, the disciples had been sent out. They came back celebrating what God had done in them and through them. And the Lord spoke to them. He says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents." I've authorized you. I've given you the authority to tread on serpents. And over all the power of the enemy, wherever the power of the enemy is operational, I've given you authority to stamp it down. Huh. And I want you to know that nothing shall by any means hurt you. You're not going to be hurt while you're stepping on all this evil that the enemy is doing. But then this is a greater portion of this. It says, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you." I've authorized you, but don't rejoice on that. That is like, that's nothing. What can be greater than that? And he says, rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Wow. So you've given me all this authority. He says, but that's not the big deal. The big deal is that your names are written in heaven. I have your name written down. I came from one service to come to this service. And in that service, I was supposed to help accomplish something. And my name was written down already. And they called me for a purpose, to accomplish something that my destiny pulled in place. And when I came up, I said, this is what I'm supposed to do, but I have a leading in my spirit that I should do this, this, this. So for the next 5 minutes, I'm going to speak to you about this, 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 this. And I finished speaking, and I headed out the door after I did what I wanted to do so I can get here on time for this service. And somebody ran right behind me. Papa, papa, papa. I said, yes, how can I help you? What you said there, that was for me. Can I make time to come see you? My husband and myself will come and see you. And whatever instruction God gives to us, we're going to do it. And I'm wondering, I was invited to go do something. The Lord said for me to do something else, plus that, but it was really for this person. Do you understand that every day that you are alive, a God has somebody on His mind that He's assigned for you to reach out to? I cannot reach everybody. No matter how hard I try, there are people that Candy will be able to reach that I, no matter how hard I try, I can't. There are people that Todd will be able to reach that no matter how hard I try, I can't. But God has purpose, destiny, chosen, loved, authorized, and to be able to do their part, reach that person, accomplish that purpose. Now, this brings me to this final statement. And I want you to listen to this very carefully. I'm going to come to it at some other time. The Bible tells us in the book of Numbers, 16 and then 17, but primarily in 16, of Numbers 16, there are 250 princes of Israel, led by a guy called Korah, and they neglected to understand that God had chosen Aaron and chosen Moses. And they felt that they too could hear from God, and how dare these people lead us? You guys have so much power in your hand, blah, blah, blah. And they were just coming against and lambasting Moses and Aaron. And when Moses sent word to Korah to come see him, he refused to come. He's going to do his own thing. Okay. God, what do I do? God says, I'm going to kill them. I'm going to kill them all. And Moses drops on his face and begins to cry out to God and say, God, please don't. Please don't. He says, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to kill them all, but let all of those princes, these were people of honor. God recognized them as that. They were important people in the household of God. But they were not satisfied with what God had given to them. They wanted to go against the prophet of God and the high priest of God. It says, get them to bring their censers, put their incense in it, and come before the Lord. So these 250 brought their censers, presented themselves before the Lord, and God dealt with every single one of them, cleans them out, says, I gave you a position, you're not satisfied with the position, you wanted another man's position, I cannot have that, cleans them out. And his reason is, I want to shut up the resistance to your leadership. Okay? God opens the ground, and the ground swallows up Korah and his team. And looked like everything was settled, but the people are still griping and complaining. It didn't seem like what God's plan was working. So God said, in chapter 17, he says, Moses, tell all of the tribes to present a leader and let them bring a rod to represent their community. So, and write their names on their rod. So they did. And you, Aaron, Moses, write Aaron's name on the tribe of Levi. So he did. He gathered all the rods and takes it into the inner chamber, presents it before God at the ark. Go home. Come back the next day. And the Bible says in Numbers 17 and verse 8, that when he went there and brings out all these rods and began to give them, each one to the particular owners, representations of the different tribes, brings out Aaron's. And Aaron's, hear this, Aaron's rod had budded. It brought forth fruit, it blossomed, and yielded almonds. Why do I conclude with this particular passage tonight? All of the rods were before the ark. But the presence of God in the ark did not have the same effect on all of the rods. It only had an effect on the chosen rod, the chosen person. May I say this to you? The presence of God will reveal your true destiny. It will reveal the love of God for you. It will reveal God's purpose and assignment for you. It will reveal the fact that you are the chosen one. It will reveal the fact that you are the one that has been authorized. In one quick swoop, God took care of all the arguments against Aaron. Show to him, Aaron, I love you. Aaron, you're chosen. Aaron, you have a destiny. Aaron, you have a purpose. Aaron, you are authorized. You are my high priest. Everything I've said boils down to that one thing. Being in the presence of God will reveal what your true identity is. Whether Aaron knew it or not, that day he found out that that stick that had his name written on it was an almond tree. In Jeremiah, God asked Jeremiah, what do you see? He said, I see an almond tree, a rod, an almond. That's a representation of the authority of God, who knew you before the foundations of the earth, before you stepped into your mother's womb. God knows you. You may have been harassed by the enemy, attacked in your mind, attacked in your body, attacked in your finances, attacked in your relationships, attacked wherever you can be attacked. Flip the script. Go back and remind yourself, God loves me. God has chosen me. God has a destiny for me. God has a purpose for me, and I'm authorized to live life to the full. I will accomplish God's purpose for my life, and whatever drugs, whatever sickness, whatever the talk, whatever the lambasting, whatever it is, you cannot stop me because I am in the hollow of His hands. I will live my life to the full. I will not step out of this place 1 second before my time. I will live my life to the full and accomplish everything God has assigned for me to accomplish. If I'm running behind, God will speedify and bring me to my right place so that I'm tracking with Him perfectly. If you receive that word, shout hallelujah. Amen. Rise with me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word. We're thankful, Lord, O God, that your grace is sufficient. We're thankful, Lord, O God, that you have raised us up by your Spirit to be a people of purpose, a people of destiny, a people who know that they've been chosen, a people loved of you, and a people authorized by you to be fruitful, and that our fruit abides. That rod that budded did not stay in the hands of Aaron. That rod was taken back and put inside the ark. There it still buds. There it is still fruitful. There it is, still accomplishing the purpose. Lord, you have a perfect will for my life and for the lives of these sons and daughters listening to me today. May every one of us fulfill our destined call, our purpose. Knowing, O God, that we've been authorized, may we use the authority you've invested in us in the wisdom of your Spirit and not break the rules and step into other people's territory, but follow through with what you've called us to do and to do it in the wisdom of your Spirit, knowing, O God, that you have loved us and that's why you gave us our particular assignment. You gave gifts. To one you gave 5, to one you gave 2, to one you gave 1, according to their several abilities. You will not give to us that which we cannot handle. Lord, we ask this day, groom us to be able to do more. Grow us up so, Father, we can reach out and impact lives. Locally and globally, for your glorious honor. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we ask it done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Before we leave today, let me just take this opportunity to ask one simple question. Is there anyone here today that needs to turn their lives over to God and say, God, I want to give you my life, so that I can become part of those ones that know beyond a shadow of doubt that I'm loved, chosen, a person of destiny, a person of purpose, a person authorized. I want to give you my life. Will you please take my life? If that's your cry, your heart's cry tonight, just raise your hand and I'll pray for you before you leave this place tonight. Anyone like that? Wants to give their life to the Lord. Praise the Lord. I will say then that everyone here has officially committed their lives to the Lord. And if that is the case, may God continue to prosper you and cause you to grow in the experience that He wants to reveal to you as one that has been loved and chosen of Him. Amen. Praise God. At this time, let us honor God with our giving. If you've not honored God with your tithe or your offerings or first fruits as of yet, This is your perfect time to do so. And while you're doing that, I want to remind you that this Wednesday is a special service. And special services, we start at 6:30. So this Wednesday, the service is going to start at 6:30, not at 7 o'clock, but at 6:30. It is the Day of Atonement. And then next Sunday, I'd like to announce about next Sunday, because this is more crucial, is the feast called Sukkot. And it lines up at the same time with our Canadian Thanksgiving service or Thanksgiving celebration. Now, Sukkot starts in the evening of Thanksgiving Sunday. And I do know that families, you know, have their get together, and this happens to be one of the first ones since COVID. So, you know, the desire to come together and celebrate is really high. And God knows that. But that's the day that Sukkot starts. And what I have to say to you is this, that we will still have a Sunday evening service at 6:30. It's going to be a shorter service, just to acknowledge the fact that there might be other things that you need to do, families that you might want to be with, and so on and so forth. Your turkey is waiting for you. And so we're going to have a shorter service so that you can accomplish two things at the same time during this Feast of Tabernacles. If you are not able to come, may God be with you where you are. But I know where I'm going to be. I'm going to be here because God says to come to this feast. This is one of those feasts that God puts a serious demand on. You know, you don't show up for the Feast of Tabernacles, your goose is cooked. Well, that is down the line. Amen? So we're going to come together, and then we're going to do the last 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the end of the 9th, going through to the whatever that date is what that is, the 16th? Okay, the 16th, that's right, the 16th. That's the end of Sukkot. So we're going to do Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 14th, 15th, 16th. 3 days together. But we're going to start the very first day, get that started, and then we'll have the break, and then we'll wrap up. Amen? That's the instruction I have, and that's the instruction I'm going to follow. Last year, we did all 7-8 days straight, you know, and it was a blessed time. So, those are some key announcements I need to take to heart and prayerfully consider what you should do for this Wednesday, and then, of course, next Sunday for sure. God bless you. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. May His blessings pursue after you and overtake you. And may you know His favor all of your days. Good night.